Hello and welcome to the latest Not a Yes Man's podcast. I'm Sean Richards. This is the point in the week you get to ask me questions about economics and financial markets. This is number 273 in the series, and this week I'm going to major on a question about the Bank of England. You may have read, seen, heard that there was a review of its economic forecasting by the Bernanke Review. And what I want to cover here is to move the debate around a little, because you see, there was a book and then a television series in the UK that was excellent on this subject and describing how bureaucracies work. And this applies internationally, although the examples here I'm discussing are about the UK. Now, there was an apocryphal civil servant called Sir Humphrey Appleby, and here's an excerpt from what he had to say about this sort of thing. "No, Minister, I beg you," replies Sir Humphrey. "A basic rule of government is never look into anything you don't have to, and never set up an inquiry unless you know in advance what its findings will be." So as you can see, they failed on the first point, in the sense that the inquiry has been found necessary. Why? Well, let's face it, because policy's been a disaster. This, in central banking terms, is the failure of the last 40 years. What we've seen with them telling everyone there wouldn't be any inflation, or to use the buzzword, it would be transitory. And instead, it's soaring and everyone being plunged into quite a deep cost of living crisis. So there's that. But then we have the next step, don't we? Only do this if you know in advance what the answers will be. Now, there's another point of Yes Minister, and this moves on slightly because by this time Jim Hacker is Prime Minister, and he asks how they deal with something like this. And the reply goes as follows. "You must never interfere with the work of one of Her Majesty, as it was then, His Majesty's, as it would be now, judges." So what do we do then? The reply to that is, you appoint someone that doesn't need influencing. So, if we then move on and look at the response from the Bank of England, we can see how well someone that doesn't need influencing works. Here's their response. "The Bank of England was delighted that Dr. Bernanke agreed to conduct a review on its behalf into the bank's forecasting and related processes during times of significant uncertainty. It is very grateful to Dr. Bernanke." I'm sure that they are, because of course, he was selected on the grounds that nothing that significant would actually happen. So there'd be loads of action underneath the surface, so to speak, making it look like something's happening. But reality would continue on pretty much as before. And that's where these sort of things get really awkward, because you have the sort of looking of activity, but nothing really that big a deal changed. In the same circumstances, the same thing would happen again. Now, there's a section in the report that really makes me think that, and it's on the issue of groupthink. Now, there are amoeba on Jupiter that can see that central banks collectively, and the Bank of England as well, suffered from enormous groupthink. Loads of PhDs, supposedly intelligent people, who all believed the same thing that was wrong. Now, I'm going to take a slight breath and then give you the Bernanke review on groupthink. The bank, they mean the Bank of England, has important institutional and practical safeguards against groupthink, including the inclusion of four external members on the Monetary Policy Committee, the principle of individual responsibility and attributive voting, of MPC members in policy decisions, the leeway given to bank research staff to choose the topics they analyse, and outside experts with whom they work, visits by MPC members to various parts of the country to hear local views and see the state of the economy up close, and regular consultations of MPC members and staff with agents, they mean agents of the bank, business people, outside economists, well, they met me, other experts, and non-economists as represented by the Citizens Forum, for example. Now, that's one of the longest sentences I've ever read. And of course it's, well, in summary, complete nonsense. For example, one of the issues I have with the structure of the Bank of England is that the external members are just selected from the same old crew. They particularly seem to dislike British women economists because they always appoint American ones. Nothing against American ones, except this keeps happening. And when something happens a lot, what do you call that? Also, it is the same old thing. And actually, of course, remember, the structure is weighted against this. The governor and the four other insider members do have a majority. Not saying that's all bad, but there are issues with that. And the point of, you know, this idea of research staff can research into what they want. Well, you're going to have them all researching the same thing. What would be the point of that? So as you can see, again, it looks like there's a load of supposed activity, but really there isn't any. You don't need to take my word for it. They were wrong, and they were all wrong. Why? Out of supposedly, let's take the four external members. How was no one warning about this? Why is there no one saying, let's have a look at the money supply? No one on it, perhaps speaking publicly about the figures, saying they're posting a warning. You see, all of the building blocks are there for exactly the same mistake to be made next time. Why? Well, because they're all so clever. I mean, how could they possibly be wrong? And then they are wrong. And then it's no one's fault because they all thought the same thing. So this is the problem here. And as you can see, collectively, there isn't really any great movement here for a particular change. And in fact, to my mind, there are some suggestions here that make things worse. What I mean by this is that they're taking away the idea that people can adjust and nudge around with the models. So in effect, you're heading in this direction for a sort of purist economic model. But which one? The ones they use all failed. So you'll have another fantastic one, or so they'd have it. But how does that go? That's only there to cover it up for a few years before we've discovered it's failed as well. I'm afraid that in the process here, as well as having mathematical models, you have to make up your own opinion. There is no purist view here. Many economic events are consequent on each other and roll through from others. What are the statistical terms? Multicollinearity and heteroscedasticity. Can't even pronounce them properly. But they're the principles here of where you have variables depending on each other. And of course, depending on each other from different time frames. That's the problem. Going back to what I said a couple of minutes ago, one of the issues here is something that does look ahead, the money supply, they've completely ignored. Now, if we take this wider and look at central banks generically, they're now running around saying they're data dependent. So they're actually looking backwards, because obviously by the time we see the inflation data, it's from some months ago. The causes of it may be from some years ago. So it's all the wrong way round. And if we return now to the choice of the author, the issue, or one of the issues that I started with, of course, Ben Bernanke is ideal for this sort of thing. He's the man who established that QE was a good idea, ZERP, zero interest rate policy, and so on. I didn't find anything like him pointing out, saying, hey guys, you did the wrong thing, you created it, are you? Because there are legitimate arguments here for the fact that forecasting went wrong was because central bank policy, in this instance the Bank of England, was so savage. A 0.1% interest rate and over $300 billion of bond buying. That is one of the things that triggered it, especially if we allow for the fact that implicit terms there was debt monetization here, because they bought roughly the same amount the UK issued. They didn't buy exactly the bonds, so it's not purist debt monetization, but nonetheless it should have been pretty clear to everyone that inflation was coming. Why didn't they see it? It was nothing to do with the models. It was because they didn't want to. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have, please take the advice of the choral and pass it on.